In our very first segment, and I invited your comments already and your critique and questions, send them to me now. Don't complain after the interview. Send your questions to me now. Some of you have sent far in advance. Those of you in the US who say that by the time the program starts, it will be, you know, not be a time you would want to be waking up, but you want your questions to be answered. I have taken a lot of your questions and will be asking them to my guest now. He's a practicing lawyer. He's managing partner at Lex Praxis Incorporated. He's also a business strategy lecturer and consultant. He lectured in Asese University and University of Ghana Business School, executive MBA, if you didn't know that. He holds many corporate training sessions each year in business strategy and services, marketing and management skills. He is in active Ghanaian civil society. He's senior vice president and policy analyst with Imani Ghana, voted among the top think tanks in Africa and one of the leading think tanks in Ghana. He handles several areas, including energy policy, education, and infrastructure. Yes, we have heard him lead. I call him the rebel leader. Lead some of the advocacy against the obnoxious policies and the wrong things that we have seen. He is a founding member of Citizen Ghana Movement. They gave us the first thing to smile about the right to information, forcing the government to disclose when it refused to disclose on the famous bus branding matter. Now, let me pause here. Well, he's a consultant. I need to say that he's a consultant with expertise and experience in various service industries, including financial services, where he has held management positions and consulted to many companies. He has helped many small businesses improve capacity, undertake re-engineering, staff rationalization, and operations optimization. He has consulted to startups and large enterprises as well. He holds many training sessions every year. I refer to that. In 2005, he was honored by the World Bank and partners with a Global Development Marketplace Award as an award recognizing contributions to an expertise in entrepreneurship. In 2009, he was inducted into the Africa Leadership Network, a wing of the Aspen Institute's Global Leadership Network. Right, I'll tell you about that later in my life. In 2015, he was given an award for visionary guidance and undaunting leadership for his work with the Young African Leadership Initiative, a program initiated and launched by President Obama to support young African leaders across Africa. He's in technology industry. He's been a founding member, executive member of the GASCOM, the Ghana Association of IT Service Companies. He worked with many partners, including the World Bank, to improve IT infrastructure and services in Ghana. And he has taught entrepreneurship at the Kofi Annan International ICT Center in Accra. He's an advisor to MPED Degree, a medical technology startup. In his previous professional life, he managed marketing and business strategy for IT companies and Enterprise Insurance Company Limited, Ghana's second largest insurer. My guest is the controversial, the guy who's been trending in the news the whole of this week for all the reasons that the NDC is very angry about, Kofi Bento. Thank you very much for making time to join us.
Thank you, Samson.
Great. So, good to have you. And people have been very interested in we hosting you for this. We want to understand, what is it that you see about the Vice President, Dr. Bawumia, that many Ghanaians do not see? You say, we gave President Mahama a chance to be president. The least we can do is give Dr. Bawumia a fair and objective hearing. He is not president and has never been president. I have no doubt he will be better. The vice president position in Ghana, apart from standing in when the president is away and he can't make any serious decisions, It is totally powerless. He is like an advisor. There is a good reason Kwame Nkrumah refused to have a vice president. I trust Vice President Bawumia because he has been the best vice president ever. Very controversial. People are attacking you for it, and intellectuals are debating you over it. Even under trying circumstances, he has shown himself not corrupt and indeed has been effective in delivering some crucial transformations. Indeed, the Minister of Finance has more constitutional power than the Vice President in managing our finances, and the EMT has zero power to effect its decisions. They advise the President, who acts through his ministers. All the rest of us need to do is give the man a fair hearing. Of course, you are entitled to your choice, but you cheat yourself if you close your ears. For those who can't associate with this conviction of yours, try and convince them this morning.
Thank you, Samson. I just hope to put out what I believe are facts. So if you take each of the points that I make, they are facts. A fact is a verifiable phenomenon, something that has happened and you can check. For example, he has never been president. There are things we can argue about. So convincing people is another level. But I think we should put out facts. And I'll explain a bit more why I felt compelled to do this. But let me start by saying there's a lot of controversy about, why should the vice president, the senior vice president of a major think tank, you know, step up and, so to say, endorse a candidate. This is not Imani. I am an individual. Like you said, I run my own business. I am a lawyer. I am a father. I am a chorister in my church. I have many things apart from being senior vice president of Imani. So I have my personal convictions. And I want to say this for the sake of my organization, that this is not Imani. So please stop that argument.
And people have said that until Imani Africa issues a statement to dissociate or distance themselves from the comment you have made, the endorsement you have made, they would treat the comments as belonging to Imani.
They have chosen to do that. You see, Imani has not issued a statement telling you this is what we've done. That is what we do when we have something to say at Imani. We issue statements. We have websites. We do publications. We have presentations. We don't have a problem speaking and owning up to the things we say, regardless of how controversial or difficult they are. Imani hasn't come to tell you that this is there. So if you want to pick it as Imani, that's why I'm making this public. It wasn't necessary, but the point must be made. This is not Imani. This is me. And I have the permission of my brothers in Imani and the Imani board. I told them I had to do this and I explained why. And I have their permission. We have our individual choices. Imani does not endorse candidates. We do what we have to do and we leave things to be. So that's the first point that has to be made. And I think.
But on that first point, how should the Ghanaian who does not belong to the NPP and is not happy with you, and those who also don't necessarily belong to a party and are not happy with you, how do they treat your commentary and analysis of national issues going forward when they know that you have a position in support of a candidate elections?
I always tell people that focus on the issue. Focus on what I am saying. Focus on the facts in my delivery. If Imani does something, say something, focus on what we have said. Too many times people are looking at some peripheral issues and reading things into other things. So see, tomorrow Imani will have something to say about something. Focus on what they've said and the substance thereof. Okay, now, I am not naive. And I've told you something many times on this platform. People have called us neutral, neutral. Right. And I took some time for almost every year I have to say this thing. I'm saying it again. I have never been neutral. I am independent. And I told you about the Mandela story. If you are neutral in the situation of injustice, you've taken the side of the oppressor. Mm-hmm. So it is for me to tell you, I am not neutral. I've never been neutral. But Being independent and having the courage of your convictions means you make up your mind and you find the wherewithal to communicate it. And people don't have to accept what you're saying, but they will have to come to grips with the fact that you are making some very important points. So when things are said, whether by Imani or by myself, please focus on that. If tomorrow I have to say something else, and you're going to say, oh, he said this last time, and because of that, you are going to cheat yourself. Okay? On this platform, for instance, I know a lot of times you invite me here because I will speak in the middle.
That's right.
Okay? Now, if tomorrow Joy FM decides that because I've done this, they are not going to invite me, all well and good. But if on an issue they believe I have something to say, which is in the middle and I'm not supporting anybody, at that time, you will know. So look, people should make up their minds, but you cheat yourself when you read all kinds of things into other things. So if tomorrow Imani is doing something, and you say because Kofi Bento at a point endorsed the candidate, the first time in 30 years of my public advocacy, okay, you are not going to listen to me, that is fine. I will make my point and leave you to decide how you're going to deal with it. So let's focus on things as they are. Listen to people and the content of what they have to say instead of reading all kinds of things.
Not to focus on this, but you must be concerned. This is Ghana. That the repercussions, there would be some significant repercussions, if you like, about the stance that you take. I belong to that school that says you don't have to be, as it were, neutral to be impartial. You only need to be impartial, and you can.
Yes.
I have said, for example, that if you're a judge, if you were MPP today and you were appointed a judge today, you still would be able to do your work impartially. I've had the shock of my life when, because I've expressed some issue on a governance matter, this government at the very beginning said Samson is going to host the show. He cannot be hosting it because he has expressed a view. The politics can be that, you know, dangerous.
It is. And look, I have had a very interesting week. And I was forced to even put it on my Facebook. People were meeting about attacking me. And there were efforts afoot. You know, you hear a lot of these things. And I'm not saying this is NDC. But there are all kinds of surrogates and people who feel, you know, upset about anything. And I don't have a problem with, you know, debating and, you know, intellectual discourse and debates, no matter how vigorous.
Right.
Okay. I block a lot of people on my Facebook, but I do that only when you insult. But if you want to debate me, no matter how actually fine, but people are planning to attack. Somebody says if NDC comes to power, they will collapse my business. You know, you hear wild things. There are serious personal prices to pay for some of these things. But I agree with you. You don't have to be partial.
And that's most
unfortunate. It's a problem with our system, but
that's most unfortunate in this country.
Yeah.
That businesses will rise depending on which political party they affiliate with. Exactly. This is what we are doing to destroy this country.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. And okay. I feel
so let's get in.
We need to get on to it, but let's get to it.
What is it about Dr. Bawumia?
So it is not so much specifically about Dr. Bawumia. So let me start from the beginning. See, across my maybe public life, from when I was a student leader, I somehow ran away from the limelight. I really, but let's leave it. And it finds me all the time. It's my friends who want to write me in for that office. And I won by a landslide. That's an aside. But I'm saying I ran away, it finds me. And even from then, there have been times when it has fallen to some people, including myself, to do the unpopular but necessary thing. Let me give you an example. In 1991, when we're thinking of passing the 1992 Constitution, there were the transitional provisions. It was a major problem. And as a student leader, you are dragged into it. People are like, no way, we should not accept it. We're forced into the discussion of whether we want constitutional rule, we want a democracy or not, or we are going to give it all up because of the transitional provisions. These arguments behind closed doors and wherever, we had to get into it, very unpopular. In those days, transitional provisions, they were terrible. Why are we going to? Let me leave it alone. But after careful thinking, we had to push the agenda that, look, let us vote for this constitution, even with the transitional provisions, because what we are looking for is political stability. If it takes us securing one man to get political stability, let us do so. Let's get on. After a while, we will know what to do with it. Today, the Iranians is no more. This constitution has been the longest lasting, the most durable. It was very unpopular then. People have even forgotten it. So here's the thing. It fell to me, I believe, to make these points, because I got to a point where I realized that this country was angrily walking into what is perhaps a mistake. And these are my views. This is not Imani's views. When I sleep, I think about it. I look at what I look at. I read what I read.
Walking into a mistake that will be voting John Mahama back.
Yes. And I have a lot of personal respect for President John Mahama. He's one of the men who has served this country almost all his adult life. From local politician to deputy minister to vice president to president. And I believe an elderly and respectable statesman. In fact, in this write-up, I said, we are blessed as a country that we don't have to fight to determine who will lead us. But we have two fine gentlemen, President John Mahama and Vice President Bawumia, who we have to pick from. The other side of that is that we have been dealt that hand. We didn't have a choice in it. It was NDC and NPP. Of all the people in NDC, they picked John Mahama. It is their prerogative. And then NPP picks Bawumia. It is their prerogative. We, the people of Ghana, have been dealt this hand. Mm. You can like it or not. I think one of the two will be president. So we have to contend with the fact of who will it be. Sitting and reflecting on these choices. And Samson, somebody called me, and I've received a lot of calls, somebody very senior called me and said, why are you doing this? I said, you know what? What is your problem with me doing this?
You're a bigger influencer.
Well, that's one of the problems. We'll come to that. But then I said, okay. He says he's angry that this has gone on. And I was like, I said, okay, I know you're angry. I must be angrier than you. I was on the streets demonstrating. I must be angrier than you. Mm-hmm. I spoke. I was effective in mobilizing for this government to come into power. I must be angrier than you. I have been more critical of this government than you. Myself and my brothers in Imani, Prof. Bobkin, Theo, no one in this country has been more critical, whether it's Japa or E-Levy, than anyone. Yeah. We've taken personal risks. I must be angrier than you, and I'm angry.
So we give you that.
So see,
and is that not the contradiction?
But that's the point. There are no brain cells in your heart. Your emotions can't think well. The thinking has to happen in your head. So regardless of my anger, and you've seen it in all my advocacy and what we've done, I had to reflect and say, I am angry, and that is pushing me to vote President John Mahama back into government. Then I look at the options, and I'm like, every measure you come up with against Vice President Bawumia, President Mahama also fails on it. He has been a president. He has been a vice president. And the track record is there. Whether it's corruption, whether it's transformational leadership, whatever it is. And when I looked at all of that, I came to the conclusion that we are better off picking Vice President Bawumia and giving him a chance. At the least, we should give him a fair hearing. Let us hear the man and listen to what he has for this country. Now, all of that together forced me to have to make that endorsement. Not to his person, but in the calculation that it is better for this country, even if you're going to make a mistake going forward. Because we have tried this other quantity, and we have had this.
We have tried John Mahama as president, yes. But not try Bawumia as president.
Yes.
That is a key argument you make.
That's a key argument. And I'm saying that
you sit on boards and you sit on interview panels. Mm-hmm. You pick people for experience on a job.
Yes.
If President Mahama has been president, he ought to do better if he's given the opportunity than someone who is seeking that opportunity.
You don't pick people for the wrong experience. Or you don't pick people whose experience showed that they could not do the job. In fact, that is the perfect rule you use to exclude them. We gave you the chance and you failed. So out. You pick people who have shown you a certain tendency to do well. And then you analyze them, which is what I did. I said, well, this vice president has been vice president and he has not been corrupt. That's a fact. Do you have any evidence of that? It is not for lack of opportunity. Sipton Switch alone was over $1 billion. And I won't go into by the way, I don't coordinate with the Bawumia campaign. They don't tell me what to do. I speak my mind, and it's not everything I say they even like. So it's not everything I say here which may be perfectly accurate.
On the corruption scorecard,
mm-hmm.
what is it you can say about Bawumia that you cannot say about President Mahama?
So President Mahama was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
He was president.
Mm-hmm.
At least you know of the Ford scandal.
Right.
I use that because that is an objective mark. There was an investigation. There was a conclusion. All the stories and everything being told, there were situations where Vice
President... he took a gift.
Yes.
Of a car.
You're saying...
Is that it?
Let me answer the question. Mm-hmm. We are comparing two people. Mm. One, there is a fact that findings of corruption were made against him. The other, there is none. And I'm saying it's not for lack of opportunity.
The other, like, whose office mm-hmm. there have been not one.
Not one of what?
But a number.
A number of what?
Of issues bordering on corruption.
You see?
And some standing trial.
So I am saying, therefore, have we gotten to a conclusion that Vice President Bawumia was involved and has been found culpable? No.
That he has supervised projects that have become scandalized.
Have you gotten to a conclusion that finding has been made that tagged him with that? The answer is no. And I'm saying, on the other hand, as for rumors, there are plenty. And there are even more rumors on the side of President Mahama than Vice President Bawumia. But in his case, findings have been made. And like I said, every measure you pick to rule on whether to go with Vice President Bawumia or President Mahama, you find out that in his case, there have been findings made and things established. So again, you go forward and you realize that, look, if we are going to look at track record, then indeed, we should not be making this mistake. See, Vice President President Mahama himself uses examples like Black Stars. I recently saw a skit where he was saying, when he comes, he's going to rebuild the Black Stars, you know, with homegrown. I mean, I checked out of Black Stars. And go check my Facebook. I gave up on Black Stars during President Mahama's time. When we messed up so bad, they flew money from here to Brazil to go and pay footballers. All right, that is when I wrote it off, and since then it's never been okay. So if the same person comes and says that, I'm going to do this, look at the track record of what he actually has done on that. So again, everything you raise, if you check here,
the Ghanaian voter,
it didn't work.
The Ghanaian voter,
mm-hmm.
this is his measure or her measure, that in President Mahama's regime, I could buy kinky for one CD, two CDs. Today, I need 5 cities.
Mm-hmm.
That is their measure. That in President Mahama's time, the CD to the dollar was 3 cities or up to 4 cities, is it? Mm-hmm. That in Dr. Bawumia's regime, we have gone close to 17 cities to a dollar and now managing some 12 cities to a dollar. And you know what that means to the entire economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means to our present suffering, that people are actually gnashing their teeth.
So again, this is what happens. In the process, you set the premise wrong. In Vice President Bawumia's regime, that's where the problem is. Samson, you and I know as lawyers, the constitutional authority of a vice president is that he's an assistant to the president. This is not Vice President Bawumia's regime. This is President Nana Akufo-Addo's regime. And the nature of the vice presidency, like I said, the finance minister has more constitutional authority because he's the representative of the president.
The president's voice overrules the finance minister.
Only the president overrules.
The finance minister works under the instructions of the president.
Yes.
That's the executive president we have.
But that's the point I'm making.
If the president gives power or assignment to the vice president,
mm-hmm.
as and projected him from the very start,
mm-hmm.
that the reason I want you to vote for me is that I have an economic messiah in my boat.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets in and he goes on his sona, mm-hmm. you know, praises the vice president for a good economic management.
Mm-hmm.
And his senior minister praises him that vice president is the one, you know, leading us to our economic destiny.
Mm-hmm.
How should we attempt to exonerate him?
Nobody should do that if that is what happened. And we were all here and we saw it. And indeed, it falls on President Nana Addo to answer those questions. Look, I have seen people send me and put on the internet Senior Minister Asafo-Mafu praising the Vice President and an EMT for a good job done under his leadership and everything. That was the first term of this government. That was when that team was working. And again, I'm saying if the facts are not there, they should come and say it. But my information was that that was the first term. When things were working, the EMT was active, and when they gave the advice, they take it. Second term, everything changed. If the president projected him as this is going to be the person I'm going to rely on to do my economics and whatever it is, and then he proceeds not to listen to him, or he proceeds not to take the advice. And by the way, again, I keep saying that this is not what Vice President Baumia is saying. He himself actually takes more responsibility than I give him. Okay, but the point I'm making to your question is that, for me, the fact that you have capabilities mean nothing if they will not be used. As far as I am concerned, I think if you see the utterances of this person before, and then some of the actions, and his utterances and actions after, you can get exactly where he's going. Let me take E-Levy for instance. Yeah. Look, clearly, he was against it because he made utterances that electronic transactions should not be taxed. It affects them. Then a decision is made by his boss that we are going to go this way, giving instruction to the finance minister, and then they go that way. And when people talk about why didn't he resign, whatever it is, see, when you don't have the prerogative, it is not your right to make the decision. And the person whose right it is to make the decision makes the decisions. You don't have any business saying you're going to resign. You've done your job. But look at what happens. He stayed there and he fought for the 100 CD exemption. Okay, that's the driver main thing that people don't seem to understand. The ultimate decision was we are going to do E-Levy. Let me land on this. And it is done against his express. The record is there. Now, he stays in and says, okay, you are going to do it because it's your prerogative. Okay, but please, can you exempt the poor? He fights for it and gets that. That is what you get by staying there. But that is what it means when you say you are a mate. Mm. You don't make the decisions, but you do influence. Now, they could have refused that too. But at least he got that.
All right.
So see, when you give your ideas and advice and it's not taken, you cannot be held responsible. It's the person who didn't take it who should answer for it.
I wanted to clear this small issue about the question of corruption among the two individuals. Mm-hmm. Now, when you refer to the fourth saga, when Shraj made the finding, it cleared the president, John Mahama, then. It didn't find him guilty and didn't find him guilty of conflict of interest as well. In your estimation, which of the two regimes have been the most corrupt? The Mahama regime or the NPP Akufo-Addo regime? You know, as a matter of fact, that one of the major reasons the NPP was voted into power was that the NDC was very corrupt. What do you say about this regime?
This regime has been terribly corrupt.
More than Mahama's regime?
In terms of magnitude, I don't have the measure.
There's a measure by the Corruption Perception Index. At least for 4 years now, this government's best results is...
For time, look.
Wait,
looking for a measure.
This government's best result is the worst in Mahama's regime. So they can't get close to Mohammed's best.
As per the corruption perception index,
yeah,
this government has been more corrupt than the Mahama government.
That's correct.
And that's disappointing. That is terrible. But that is why this government is going away. If this was a vote for their second term, I would have voted them out because I would be voting for Nanado and this government. Yeah. By the design in our constitution, this government, this whole load of people are going away. The biggest baggage Vice President Baumia has is this government. He is having to pay for the sins of this government, and he's part of it.
They are going away because
you
are passing a vote of no confidence in them.
No, they are going away not because we are voting them out. They are going away because that is the design of our constitution. The next government is not President Nanado's government. And one of the things that I want to see, I mean, I have found a way to tell Vice President Baumia, I don't want to see any key members of this government in his team. If he does that, I will criticize him. So let's get it right. Again, when we set the premise, this government is going away. And rightly so. If this was their second term, I will vote against them. Now, we cannot visit the sins of the fathers on their children, especially when there is evidence, okay, that indeed We could be making a mistake. And I don't seek to convince anybody beyond what they've made up their minds about. But it is a force to some of us to make these points and make them clearly so that people can make their mind. And since I did, a number of people have told me, look, they were all angry. It looked like yes, but there was something they couldn't really put their mind on. Mm. After I put this thing out, it's clarified in their minds. So see, this government, if they were standing for election again, I would ask everybody to vote against them.
President,
this Kufuor, is not the government we are voting for.
President Kufuor at the meeting where Vice President Mahamudu Bawumia gave his plan, said the whole world is in a flux. Mm. Quality leadership is very scarce. Ghana has come to the crossroads. It is not the normal, regular politics we need. We need someone like Bawumia to find our way out of the situation we find ourselves. Mm-hmm. How do you ask someone who has had the opportunity to influence the change that he is promising and has not done it to become the president so that he will change it?
Someone who has had the opportunity to influence the change in there has the opportunity. Did he take the opportunity to influence? Yes, he did. But when you have the opportunity, it is not having the power to make the change. Now, when he influenced, in the times he was listened to, we had something. And that's what I'm saying. There's been some transformational projects. Now, when you refuse his advice, he can't change anything. Then he tells you, again, just take his speech. He says, "Day I get power, these taxes are gone." It tells you what he will do. So he has had the opportunity
to feel as a
but
Ghanaian.
He failed to influence.
How do you feel as a Ghanaian?
Because there were other people
that
who were more powerful than him.
You have been brought under this heavy burden of e-levy. Mm. And the man in that government is telling you, vote for me, I will change it. When now is when you want that relief.
Because
particularly,
now,
this is the time you are not in normal times.
Because now he doesn't have the power to change it. That's a fact. Two, I hate e-levy with a passion. For all kinds of reasons I will talk about. Now, we know for a fact he was against it. We know for a fact, and they can tell you who was fighting about it in cabinet. When he lost, we know for a fact he fought for the 100 cedi exemption. And now we know for a fact he has stated clearly that the day I get power, this thing is going. What do you want to hear anymore? Now I hear people say, oh, he's not going to be able to do it. He's not going to do it. How do you say that? The man has said it. He has lived it. And we know everything about him. So see, the solution is in our front. And we are saying that what we are seeing is not what we are seeing. What do you want to hear? If President Mahama tells you that he's going to abolish e-levy, will you believe it? He is telling you
because I'm still against it. Because
the potential
for Ghanaians to believe President Mahama is far better. And it makes sense. It makes logical sense.
Is it based on
because
fact or
his
anger?
His party spent 6 months fighting e-levy. And they actually walked out because they will not be heard on it. Mm-hmm. So it is known that his party doesn't want it.
It is known that Vice President Bawumia doesn't want it. We all fought e-levy and we lost. It is known that Vice President Bawumia fought for the exemptions for the poor in e-levy. It is known, based on his own utterances, that Vice President Bawumia, on the day that he comes into power, will abolish e-levy. I believe that. And President Mahama has not told us we'll abolish it. And indeed, he has said so. He has said so.
That e-levy will go. NDC has been very clear on
it. Because I have heard people in NDC say that it cannot be abolished, which was shocking to me, that he cannot do it. I said, why can't it be abolished? When toll levy was passed in Parliament, toll levy, you remember toll levy? Mm-hmm. As a law, even mere mortals like us were able to crusade and we had it abolished. So if the man says I'll abolish it, why do you believe one, you don't believe the other one? So Samson, what I'm saying is that, look, we have a situation where, for me, I think Ghana will go on with either president. But the situation where we are blinded by anger and it leads us to make a certain mistake is what I just want to wake people up to. As for how you vote,
many Ghanaians say it boils down to the question of trust. Mm. That this vice president was the arrowhead, so to speak, of the NPP's campaign. Mm-hmm. But for this vice president, the NPP would not have won the 2016 elections. You believe so?
I believe so.
That the promises one this, one that, airport here, harbor there, have not happened.
Yes.
That most of the promises have not been fulfilled.
Yes.
Why do you trust him?
I trust him because he was deployed and his strengths were used during the campaign. He gave us the benefit of his knowledge and everything. But again, in government, he's the vice president. In the first term, the evidence was there that he was being listened to. In the second term, you had situations where taxes were being passed and he was complaining against them. Now, it's like the thing you use to tow your car, the rope. When you need it, it's in the front of the car, and that's what gets the car to move. Mm. When you are done and you solve your problem, you put it in the boot and you forget about it. So the point is this. It comes down to the constitutional powers of the vice president. And personally, I think that we are underutilizing our vice president. If we are going to keep the vice president's office, we should abolish the chief of staff's office. The vice president should be the chief of staff. We just have that whole office, and he's just an advisor to the president. And this example is showing us that you can have a very good vice president who is totally shut off, and the country is going to move in a certain direction, and until he becomes president, he can't do anything. And people are saying he should have resigned. If he resigns, it's a loss to this country.
So what do you say? That this government or the vice president deceived or lied to the voters?
He didn't. He told you his truth. And again, he does not have the prerogative of final decisions. And when the issues have come, he has spoken what he believed, which he promised you. Again, I just use e-levy. This is wrong, don't do it. But the decision was made. And then he tells you, the day I get power, trust me, I will move it, I will change it.
So, I can trust this man. First, let's take it this way. Somebody deceived somebody or lied to somebody.
There was no deceit there. He spoke his truth during the campaign. We should do this. And I say, during the first term, this government won a second term. And they won the second term based on their performance. And you've seen clips to the effect that, this is when the EMT was working, they were taking the advice. In the second term, we've all seen, and by the way, we didn't have COVID and the global meltdown in President Mahama's time. If we had, I don't know what would have happened. But after that, clearly, you can see situations, and the evidence is out there. People passed.
You and I criticize this government for all the money they got in COVID.
I still criticize
them. For which they shouldn't have any excuse.
I still criticize them. That's why I'm saying this.
So why, my point is that why do you refer to COVID and Ukraine?
I refer to COVID.
Because they had enough to take care of the situation. More than enough, in fact.
Yes, and that is where this government has failed. But I refer to COVID because I'm saying this is something that happens sometimes once in 200 years. So it is massively significant that you have a global pandemic that shuts the world down. Mm. It's significant. But that notwithstanding, this government should have done better. We shouldn't be paying COVID taxes today. But the question is, who has been the architect of that mess? And I'm saying by our constitutional design, they are all going. If they were not going by constitutional design, Samson, you know me, I think independently. I make up my mind and I let things fall.
You have not been charitable to this government for the manner in which they went about the bank cleanup.
Absolutely, yes.
That it was suggested that you could have spent 8 billion or 9 billion to save the situation without the collapsing the too many of the banks and the unemployment that resulted. Mm-hmm. And that you didn't need to spend enormous over 25 to 27 billion. And that is part of the reason our economy became so fragile. The shocks could not, stand the disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
He praises the Bank of Ghana for that project. What do you say?
This is what I say. You're right. Look, the bank cleanup was messed up. Again, we know the architects of that. Two, even in that mess up, we should have done better under COVID. Okay, and we didn't. All right. And then your question specifically is what? Mm.
He's praising the Bank of Ghana for that project.
So hold on there.
As we speak today, there are actually entities.
There are entities. Don't go too far.
Please go ahead.
I wanted us to focus. He is praising the Bank of Ghana. Mm. Hear me well. The worst part of the vice president's speech was his praise of the Bank of Ghana. I found it despicable. For me, it was the worst part of everything. I'm an analyst. I have friends in the Bank of Ghana, whatever. He says so because the Bank of Ghana helped to save this government. But I'm not sure whether what the Bank of Ghana was doing was in the interest of the state. And I wanted you to focus on that because this is where sometimes you get the opportunity to show maybe a bit of objectivity. I totally disagree with Vice President Bawumia on his praise for the Bank of Ghana. He may like what they did. I don't. And I think the Bank of Ghana have not shown themselves to be responsible in crisis. That is why we gave the Bank of Ghana independence. So that when governments mess up, you don't follow them into the mess and make the kind of losses that you make. And at the same time, be building a $200 million edifice on top of it in this mess. So for me, my worst critic in the speech that President Bawumia, Vice President Bawumia gave, was his praise of the Bank of Ghana. He may like what they did. I totally disagree with him. And indeed, I hope he finds a way to make sure this does not happen again. We don't need a Bank of Ghana that is independent to be shoring up the messes of government. So, Sonson, on that specific thing, I'm happy you brought it up. That is how I can show you where I disagree. There are many fantastic parts of this speech. We don't have to. Yeah. He's talking about the national plan.
And because it's an area that it's an area that you are you have great expertise in.
I know the compression of time.
I am sure you are aware of even, you know, entities that were not insolvent and yet were collapsed.
My brother, both as a lawyer.
And because of the politics, this government will not admit that they even made mistakes.
I said both as a lawyer, I mean, caught with cases and a consultant. I was part of some of those situations. I know what has gone. It was terrible. And look, any government coming in should take a second look at those things and who did what. So that is a place where I will tell you, I totally disagree with Vice President Bawumia on that. Totally. And they have really done some damage. On my Facebook is there that this whole episode concerning the financial services sector, they've just blown it all up. But the question is, who is going to fix it? And I think again, between President Mahama and Vice President Bawumia, I will trust Vice President Bawumia to be the better person to fix these things because he understands them intimately.
Why do I trust the person who created the mess in the first place to fix the mess rather than change course? Because that's what the electorate is asking you.
Okay, so
they can't reconcile the two.
Well, it's easy to reconcile it if you look at the track record and look at the competence issues. This man has the track record and the competence as a financial whiz kid. And I'm saying he was not effective here because he was a number two. And I wish we had time to talk about the vice president's office and how we could deal with it. But now when he becomes number one, I have no doubt that you have a better competence than the other number one. Now, if he can build a solid team, not with some of the people who have been part of the mess, I think he has a better chance of solving it, especially also because he has intimate knowledge of what went on and all those other things. All that put together, if we look at the fact that, look, and you see, President Mahama was vice president and president when this problem was being cooked. The problem that was being solved, which was not well solved, okay, happened, firsted under Vice President Mahama and President Mahama. If you take something like constitutional review, which we think is a big issue, again, you had President Mills. We've been talking about this forever, that the constitution needs to be reviewed. Mm-hmm. Vice President Mills took a step, spent money, CRC did everything. What did President Mahama do when he got the power, ultimate power? He put it on a shelf.
He did not.
What happened?
When the process was over, you needed Parliament's buy-in. The minority opposed it to the hilt. Chairman Sabonsu, they led that fight. They won't allow it. Yes, you say they were in power. They could do something. Our good friend, Professor Kweku Azar, went to the Supreme Court. By the time the Supreme Court brought its decision, that was, I think that was somewhere in November of 2015 or 16 thereabouts. I think it is not fair to say President Mahama didn't implement it.
I would take back saying he did nothing. So what I mean to say is he should have taken it as a major issue and fought to make sure we get constitutional review. And the constitutional review thing, in all the forums we've held, it shouldn't be that difficult. That's some right. Things are not entrenched. Push Parliament, let them do it. The ones that are entrenched, I've said it over and over again, every 4 years we have a referendum in this country. We can put two or so questions there. The point I want to make is that, and I'm taking back the fact that he didn't do it, he did something, he didn't succeed. But Vice President Bawumia, it is in his speech that he is going to champion constitutional review. I want to hear that.
You support,
I want to see the energy around that.
You support the view, as CDD's findings have revealed, that 76% of Ghanaians want non-partisan DCEs.
Yes.
So that you and I can decide that we don't want to belong to NDC MPP, but we want to serve our community and we can go in and win elections.
Yes.
But presently we can't.
Yes.
President Mahama says, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. This current president mm-hmm. promised earlier to do this. Mm-hmm. His party whipped him to make it partisan.
I heard it.
Now he insists him as a partisan.
Yes, it's my one of the worst.
Why will you trust this rather than President Mahama?
I don't trust President Nana Akufo-Addo because he jettisoned that. You and I were part of that campaign.
That's right.
And we got to the point we were going to get it. And he killed it. That is my problem with President Nana Addo. Okay, I am saying here on your program, mark my words. If we ever end up with a President Bawumia, and he doesn't do this, I will every day criticize him over it. We need to have DCEs and MDCs elected. Mm. This government failed to do it for whatever reason, and it's one of the blotches on their record. Now, if President Mahama becomes president, I will pray him to do it, and I also press for him to do it. So these things, look, I don't argue about them. They are necessary. They must be done. It's a shame we haven't done them, and we must hold our leaders.
We're having a quick discussion with Kofi Bento of Imani Africa, but he's here on his individual right as a citizen, and he's advocating that for now, on the facts, he believes that Vice President Mahama tops the list as a better person to be president to deliver for us than President John Mahama. Now, I'm taking some of your views to him. And I'm reading this first to you. Mm. I won't tell you who it is, but so you're a very good friend.
No problem.
In this job. And he's a fighter like no other.
No problem.
He says, Kofi is essentially asking us to treat Bawumia as a lone ranger, as if he was an independent candidate. But how so? A vote for Bawumia is a vote for an unprecedented third term for the NPP. That is what breaking the eight means. Bawumia is a party candidate. If elected, he will run his government with the NPP. And a majority of his ministers will be NPP MPs. He has already promised to give every constituency of the party at least 10 appointments in the public sector. Kofi's attempt to separate Bawumia from the NPP administration is simply unpersuasive and disingenuous. Then he concludes, a vote for Bawumia is a vote to reward the NPP with a historic third term. Once again, despite their abysmal record across multiple areas, including governance, over the last 7 or 8 years, it would be a huge setback for our democracy and development if a party that has governed so terribly and with no apologies whatsoever is rewarded with an unprecedented third term.
So again, see, we have a duopoly. We did not ask for it. We ended up with it, MPP, NDC. I wish there was an alternative, viable third party candidate. Unfortunately, there is none. Maybe we should find a way to come up with one. Mm. In the circumstance, you don't compare Vice President Bawumia to the Almighty. You compare him to the alternative. And if you use the same thing that this is a government that has failed, the government on history that has failed and was rejected by 1 million votes is President Mahama's government. Now, I am not NDC, neither am I MPP. But I wish that NDC had not presented President Mahama. I would have been saying something different. Of all the people in NDC, I don't know why they had to particularly bring the person who was rejected at the last polls. And if MPP had not brought Vice President Bawumia, I wouldn't have said the things that I'm saying. Okay, if they had brought somebody who was, you know, more or less, you know, didn't have the track record of Vice President Bawumia, I would be saying the things I'm saying. So the facts as they are, we are presented a duopoly.
Right. So we're doing this very quick, because these are comments of our viewers, and we want to do quick, and then bringing our next guest to analyze Dr. Bawumia's speech. This one, your name is Mhab 247. Initially, Nana Addo's ascension to power sparked a resurgence of patriotism among Ghanaians. However, can this sentiment be honestly expressed today? Proclaiming Bawumia as the beacon of hope for our nation rings hollow, as his role appears to be that of a marionette, executing the directive of his financial backers without question. He in essence has become the puppet for the West, carrying out useless and nonsensical taxes like that of a useless emissions tax. Ghanaians should connect the dots and brace themselves. The worst is yet to come. So that's not a question to you.
But I can say
Icon Body says, I want to get a direct question to you. Yeah. Icon Body says, I think he has every right to express his mind. But hey, we were here when you, the same guys, came with Nana Addo, and we all are witnessing our smoothest levels. We learned our lessons and are waiting for the 7th of December to show them the exit. And no one can change that. We agree with him. The vice president stands tall when compared with his main opponent, JM. This is from SK Kutu. Nana Kwame says, of course, he's very competent and way better than Mahama. Then General Buhari, I fully agree. Dr. Bawumia has proved to be an intelligent individual with a great foresight. He represents the future and he's, of course, a generational thinker. Direct question.
Okay.
I think we have not been fair with Kofi Bento in that we have chiefs publicly endorsing Mr. Mahama and they put the videos on Facebook. Don't support NDC MPP. I don't support NDC MPP. I see Dr. Bawumia is an asset to the nation. Eraba Opoku Bediako sent in that one. This says, Kofi is saying JM was rejected by a million votes. So what happened in the 2020 elections when John Mahama was presented again? That is your question.
There was this issue about puppets.
Yes.
And that is going to be controversial. Mm. See, in my own lifetime, I have not seen a certain vice president step up and in his campaign speak expressly in the face of the government he's in and say, I will repeal the taxes that were passed by this government.
Right.
And actually he's taking steps. As we speak, there are rumors of even reshuffle. Okay. How is a person like that a puppet? Who has ever seen that happen before where he takes on his own government? And I keep making the point that this man, he's a gentleman. I take more responsibility of him than he does for himself. He has said
Richmond says,
but I'm saying he's clearly not a puppet.
Richmond says, your position is unfortunately disappointing. You are literally saying the alternative is scary. If you cannot endorse Mahama, and you are proclaiming Bawumia just because of the duopoly scenario you have just spoken about. Why are you not looking at Alan, who is independent, or some other independent person?
So, again, I teach business strategy. In all of these things, you must have a number of things to assess. If we had time, we'll deal with the Alan issue. We don't have time. Mm. Here's the bottom line. We have been dealt a hand based on a duopoly, and that tells us that Alan will not win the presidency. I don't have time to go into that. Right. He's a very fine gentleman. I really respect him. I wish things were different, but as it is right now, that's why I'm saying we are sleepwalking into a disaster. We can start talking all kinds of things that are not real, and then we'll end up crashing. So unfortunately, as it stands right now, okay, the candidature of Mr. Alan Tremating, much as he is, I think, a good person, who is qualified to be president, I really don't think that he will be able to move, you know, the populace to vote for him. And that's the only problem with it. Mm. And so we have to face what we are dealing with, because at the end of the day, we have NDC and MPP.
You are approaching this issue as if Bawumia is an independent candidate.
Yes, I'm approaching it that way because, you know, the government is different from the party. And the party is different from the state. Okay, my problem is with the government. Of which Bawumia is part.
But Bawumia will be independent of the party.
No, so I'm
coming. You know that doesn't work.
No, hold on. If you had time, I'll go into the...
There are people paying for the elections.
Here's the thing. Of course, there are people paying for the elections. But you have had a sitting vice president mount a podium and make a promise on his honor that he's going to repeal the taxes of his government. And you think that he did that... Look, people think he's thrown the government under the bus and he's not whatever. He has not thrown the government under the bus. In my mind, based on the strategy I understand, he has negotiated what is called a pivot. All right? He has negotiated to go in a different direction, even if it's critical of the existing. But that negotiation means that he has gotten the buy-in of President Akufo-Addo and Co. and said, look, this is where I want to go. The person who does that tells you that he has his own might, he has his own agenda, and he's going to fight for it. So for me, that gave me a lot of hope that he could say that even now. Know that he's riding the horse of the party, but he's still saying things which may not be, you know, tantalizing for some members of the party to hear. But that tells you that he's his own man. So it gives me confidence that this man, when he grabs power...
Dr. Collins says the right. That the Bawumia was at the birthday celebration where E-Levy was the cake.
Yes.
And we have actually been told that he was instrumental in the E-Levy passage. So what are you talking about, really? How can you trust him?
This is what I'm talking about. He was at the E-Levy, whatever. I don't know about that one. But look, nobody's denying that Bawumia was in the cabinet, in the government that passed E-Levy. But is anybody denying that Bawumia had not made express his resistance and his refusal and stated that this is wrong? That's a fact. He had done that. Now, when it was...
He didn't say so. He didn't say it was wrong.
No.
He had stated
it is wrong to tax electronic transactions.
Exactly. That is before the law was made.
The point I am making is the man had made express his viewpoint that we should not be passing things like
that. But he was not heard after the law was passed.
No, he was. See, you don't know what goes on in cabinet, but I'm going to tell you that, look, there was a fight there. And when he lost that fight, and no, he doesn't have the final say, okay, he still didn't walk out. He fought. When they say he was instrumental in designing it, what I am aware he did was say, okay, if you're going to pass it after I don't have the final say, then please exempt the poor based on the 100 CDC. And he got that. Okay. I think that's a good thing. That cannot be a negative against him. Okay? Sometimes you don't win the battles, but take the wins that you
What do you
get.
Say to a
now
questioner?
He says he's going to
what do you say to a questioner who says, when you say you are disappointed in his praise of the Bank of Ghana, it is actually not the Bank of Ghana's policy, but it was Bawumia's policy. Executed by the Bank of Ghana.
The person is guessing. He doesn't know that for a fact. Again, this government, led by a president who has given his mandate to his finance minister,
okay,
and we're clearly overriding the vice president who didn't have any power, were in charge of this one.
All right. Kofi Bento, thank you.
And we haven't talked about the transformations. Look, we are talking about shifting the tax base and making it wider. You can't do any of that if you don't do things like digitization. We haven't talked about the fact that even
if
though...
If the MPP so believes in all the things that Bawumia says he would do, which he says are bold solutions, why does he not do it now? That's a question Ghanaians are asking.
Over and over again, because he doesn't make the final decision. What will be done now?
He will be doing it in an MPP government if he's voted.
When he
it is the MPP that
he...
is presenting him. The MPP should be telling us why they are not doing it now. That's the question.
The MPP now... in government is the government that is going, the government that we are not happy with.
The president overrides everybody in the MPP. That's what you want us to believe.
Well, the fact is that the constitution gives the president an executive right to override everybody. And that is why we need to do something about the constitution. And that is why I'm also happy that Vice President Bawumia talked about a constitutional review. So we need to fix this constitution so that these
things the cabinet happen. Of 19 are puppets, even more than 19, including the chairman of the party and other party people who have come publicly to say, don't do this tax, don't do this tax. All of them simply go to cabinet not saying anything, or they actually oppose, but the president is the one that says, I won't listen to anybody. Is that what is going on?
I think so. Recently, you had a slew of taxes being passed, and then cabinet sits and then they repeal those taxes. So who passed the tax in the first place? Who passed the tax? So clearly you have a situation where the executive presidency is manifesting itself in ways that are very unpalatable.
The MPs, they sit in parliament. They are passing it. They are an extension of the party.
Yes.
So how do we believe that the president cannot override everybody?
Because without, see.
E-Levy, they should have...
One of the things we must absolutely strike out of our constitution is the thing about picking ministers from parliament. That gives the president too much control over parliament.
Right.
And that's why he gets them to do his bidding. That's constitutional review. And that, again, Vice President Bawumia says he will deal with. So see, we need to amend this constitution so we don't have problems like what we have now.
Okay.
We live to learn. And when we learn, what wise people do is make amends. We should not sleepwalk into a problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kofi Bento.